Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. You can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies.
Brent Pry was driven out of the coaching business by his own record.
At least out of the head coaching business.
Yes.
He'll get a defensive coordinator
nice
spot
man.
Somewhere.
Maybe.
Guest on the show a bunch of times. We're rooting for him, but
great
we
guy.
Lose to Old Dominion.
I mean, if I were him, the first thing I would do is just go tell my family, hey, I got $6 million coming my way. Let's go to the beach for a month. Okay, let's just decompress. Mm-hmm. You don't need to obviously get back into coaching, try to get it this season. That's crazy. Just unplug, take a little
time.
Well,
he didn't need the money. He was making 4.8
for 4 years. He's great. He's fine.
He's got plenty of money.
Just reassess things.
I mean, what do you make as a deep?
No, but you're a decompress. I think Dan Quinn said that.
He was probably making $1 million or $1.5 million as defensive coordinator at Penn State.
Yeah.
No, but you're right. Quinn said he didn't want to just jump right back into something.
Take that extended
vacation.
He had
a little break, and then he ended up being coordinator for the Cowboys.
Go to your lake house, wherever you own it,
right,
and just chill. Or go to the beach, one of the two things.
How disappointing was this run for Pry?
Well, scale of 1 to 10, 10. When you get fired and you're 4 of a 6-year deal, of course it's disappointing.
Is it just not a great spot anymore?
Well, it's definitely not a great program.
It's one of the worst teams right now, one of the worst programs in Power Four.
The problem is it's never going to reach the heights it once did if you acknowledge that they're not in the game financially.
Right.
That's a huge issue.
If they're not in the game financially, they're no longer in the business of competing for what the fans feel like they should be competing
for. A good season for Virginia Tech now, based on the resources that they have, is 7 or 8 wins.
Yeah. I mean,
to win an ACC championship, unless they just somehow they get a lot of money in there, they can start paying better players to come in. It's just not going
to
happen.
I mean, Hokies fans couldn't wait to get rid of Justin Fuente, and he won 58% of his games.
Pry
won 40%.
Their last 10-win season was 2016. 2017, they were 9-4.
Fuente.
Since then, 2018, 6-7. 2019, 8-5. 2020, 5-6. 2021, 6-7. 2022, 3-8. That's Pry's first season. 2023, 7-6. So you kind of thought Pry was turning around. And then 6-7 a year ago.
Well, he was. They were all geeked after they went 7-6. They were geeked last year after they beat Tulane over at Navy in a rainstorm to win a bowl game. And they thought, oh, okay, now we're building on something. And Drones, he's regressed.
Well, the days
after bringing in a new offensive coordinator,
the days of Beamer coaching the team in the 80s and 90s, and hey, come to quaint Blacksburg, you're gonna love. We've built a great thing here. Now it's show us the NIL money, and if you don't have a bunch of NIL money, I'm sorry. Like being in a remote spot like Blacksburg, it's probably not that attractive to the top recruits. What is attractive is getting paid top dollar, and if you can't pay top dollar,
true.
That's going to be a problem.
True, and he was behind the eight ball on the resources, but he also they weren't good at coaching the team.
Right.
And when you lose 12 out of 13 games in one score games, you're doing something wrong coaching the kids on the field.
Can you think of another program who has, because of NIL and just the way college sports is today, that they will never reach the heights that they once did just 10 or so years ago, like Virginia Tech? Is there another program like Virginia Tech that could, in theory, potentially compete for a national title? And now that's just not. That's
what,
not,
from the 90s?
From like the last 10, 15 years. That's just like not plausible.
I mean, I'd have to go back and look at all the standings. But
there are teams that go through ebbs and flows. Like Nebraska was once a powerhouse.
Yeah, I'd say Nebraska. But you would think in theory Nebraska still has Florida?
What about Florida?
Right, but those programs still have, I think, the financial wherewithal that they can turn it around.
Well, I would think in theory Florida has access to that kind of money. But we just don't know.
Yeah.
We just don't know what these teams are willing to spend, what these schools are willing to spend.
I would think Florida's willing to spend as much as anyone.
I would, too.
I'll give you a border I think that's of Virginia an example. Tech that kind of jumps, like West Virginia.
Yeah,
might be
West
kind of the same sort of.
They're in the same boat.
Same sort of situation.
They're in the same boat.
So here are five names to replace
Maryland. I mean, Maryland has never really, in the 50s.
Long term. Everybody thinks about Shane Beamer, his head coach at South Carolina. But these are some other interesting names that I saw. Alex Golish, USF.
Okay.
Does he do anything for you, Jason?
I mean, he's obviously turned them around. I mean, they've won some big games this year, but they just got smoked. I think that's just one of those hot young names that you just have to throw out there. I don't know if he could be successful or not.
Ryan Silverfield, Memphis.
He's been good at Memphis.
24-5 since the start of 2023.
He goes to bowl games pretty much every year.
James Madison's head coach, Bob Chesney.
I'm sorry.
Former Junkies guest.
121-51 overall record.
They need a sexier name.
I mean, he was at Holy Cross.
All the names you just mentioned, I'm sure they're qualified. They need a splashier name.
How about a sexy name?
I agree.
They need an offensive coach.
All right.
They can't bring
I got one that fills those two needs.
Michael Vick?
Michael Vick. He's coached three college games.
Right.
I mean, you would have to surround him with an army of great assistants, but I don't hate the splashiness of it. That's definitely sexier than the names he just mentioned.
It's sexier, but you can't throw Michael Vick in there to run an ACC program. Not yet.
Charles Huff, Southern Miss head coach.
You know what I would... Who's their AD? Is it Whit Babcock?
Yes. Okay, by the way, Whit Babcock might be on his last legs, too.
He could be. But if I'm Whit Babcock, I'm going to pick up my phone, and I'm going to find... I know this is a grasper. I know this will never happen. But you got to take a big swing. I'm calling Nick Saban. Well, I'm at least calling him.
Come on.
I know he's not going to take it, but I'm going to call him.
Why would he?
He's not going to accept the call.
It. I would at least take it. Like if I'm Nick Saban,
what about the dog from LSU? $20 million a year.
Brian Kelly?
No.
Oh, Ed Orgeron.
I would love that.
Hey, it's all. Oh, it's Virginia Tech online? Oh, how much you paying? How much NIL you got down there?
Let me throw another name out.
I like that one. That'd be a great hire.
I'm going to run shirtless through all the mountains.
If you're a Virginia Tech alum, if you're a Hokies alum, you can call us at 800-636-1067.
Now, that's a sexy name. Now, he might not be able to coach his way out of the paper bag, but it's a sexy name.
Let me throw another one out. John Gruden.
Call him.
I saw that.
Sure. They need to get out of their Virginia Tech box and go. They need to at least take big swings. None of these guys from USF and James Madison, shoot those guys right into the sun.
By the way, that's so delusional.
I don't think
Gruden or Saban.
I know.
I think Gruden would have to make the call.
No, Gruden's above.
Make the call.
Gruden's above that.
I don't know. He wants to get back into coaching.
I know. He can go take an SEC job.
Yeah, but John Gruden, like I saw him rumored for Florida, for example.
What about Jimbo Fisher?
Sure. Call him. They need something bold.
Had an inglorious run in his last stop.
They need something bold in Blacksburg.
Yeah,
they need
I
to
agree.
Make a bold hire.
But they also have to decide on what direction they're going to take and how they're going to be able to spend and keep up with these other teams.
Absolutely.
If they can't, well, they're going to be a middle
of the
road.
How much did the guy say that Oregon was spending? Remember? What did he say? Like 85
40,
million?
No, 40.
Like Gundy?
Yeah, what did he say?
40.
He said 40 million. Yeah. What are they spending?
He said, oh, man, I'm 40. That old bit. That's
well,
a great
they're spending like eight
they,
and a half.
They got Nike money.
Yeah. No, I understand.
So, I mean, if Tech had Nike money, they would be top five.
Maryland has Under Armour money.
They do have Under Armour.
That doesn't help.
Dude, I went.
Call Saban. Get him on the horn.
I don't want to be mean. Did I tell you? I went into an Under Armour store and it looked like I was in a JCPenney.
Their stock looks like a penny stock.
They had some of the worst, like, just like golf shirts.
Yeah.
They were just like literally so plain and boring. It was just, I couldn't believe the garbage that was in the store.
Thank God I made my money on Under Armour and got out.
I mean, I hate to say it. It's bad. Bad.
Dude, they just, have you seen what they built off of 95 in Baltimore? It looks like you could land a spaceship in it. No, it's so big.
I've been there. I've been inside there.
It looks impressive from the highway. I've never been in.
No, it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome. But that was 10 years ago, 15 years ago, whatever.
Oh, no, I'm talking about a brand new spot. Like this
I'm talking about the one that's on the water.
No, this one's like less than a year old.
Yeah, no.
And
no,
it's
no.
crazy.
I haven't been to that one. I've been to the headquarters that they've been in, I don't know, 10, 15 years, whatever.
Mm.
I think I saw an article about that spot and the speculation that when they put in RFK, the new stadium, about revitalization, and that Baltimore hasn't gotten what they expected from Under Armour.
They haven't gotten the pop.
They haven't gotten the bump from that Under Armour plant or whatever it is.
Well, if you want to see Under Armour stock price, here's what I recommend you do. Go grab a shovel out of your garage and dig a deep hole and then look in the hole.
Well, there's a
reason.
You're
going to see their stock price.
You look at the stuff and you go, why would I buy it?
Well, the young kids don't want to ever wear Under Armour.
Well, it's because it's not even good design. Like, it's just...
Yeah. They're designing for old men.
You could go to Temu. You could literally go to Temu and get a nicer shirt.
Oh, I disagree with that. Temu is nothing but garbage. And that's somebody I don't... I mean, Temu, you think you're going to spend money on this station? I can disparage them.
I like their golf shorts.
Under Armour's?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I went in there and I was looking specifically at the shirts. I just couldn't believe how plain and dumb and simple they were. They were 20 years ago.
What do you mean plain?
Plain. Like, just.
Well, what do you want? Like some fancy.
You need something spicy?
You know, you see, they're nice golf shirts. They're just. They haven't evolved. I mean, I don't know. They're going backwards, I think. The collars were nubs. Everything about it was nubs. They're just terrible design. I was shocked. I literally felt like I was in a JCPenney.
Well, I hope Virginia Tech is not shopping at those stores for their head coach.
Who's taking over the rest of this season?
His name's Philip Montgomery. He was one of the new coordinators that Pry brought in. He was head coach at Tulsa for years and wasn't great there, but
can he beat
limited
Wofford?
Resources at Tulsa.
Can he beat Wofford this weekend?
I mean, if they lose to Wofford, who's 0-3,
right?
They probably should shut down the program.
Wofford just lost to Mercer. Yeah. I didn't even know Mercer had a football program.
Yeah.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. You hear Enter Sandman there.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, The Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
I listen to Scott Van Pelt's podcast pretty regularly, and a few weeks ago, I think it was Stanford Steve actually, went on, I don't want to say a rant, but kind of was like, I don't want to hear about Lane Stadium and Enter Sandman. Like, I'm done with Virginia Tech football until they win some games. And I think that's a fair place to land.
Yeah.
Well, I think the folks at Virginia Tech had the same sentiment. The Hokies played well in their opener in a loss to South Carolina. South Carolina ended up covering that game. Thank you very much. But
I told you about that Sun Belt Conference, though.
The Hokies were tough. Then their home opener, they play Vandy in Blacksburg and get worked.
Mm-hmm.
Vandy's pretty good. Vandy just went and beat South Carolina. So, like, there's no shame in losing to Vandy.
Mm-hmm.
But shout out to the Fighting Scott Jacksons.
You trying to say shame in losing to a Sun Belt Conference team?
No.
Oh, all right.
If you go back and listen to last week's show, I called them losing this. Mm-hmm. I loved Old Dominion with the points. But, Brian, to get down 28-0 at home.
They were favored by how many?
I don't remember, but it was significant.
and they lost by significant.
45-26 final.
Yeah.
45-26 final. Mm-hmm. They fire Brent Pry. Listen, this year is shot. It was the right call. Like, the reason you fire Brent Pry now is so whoever gets the interim nod gets to play Wofford next week, and then ideally that guy gets to start with a win and try to build some momentum.
After at least you hope.
Right. That's a good point. After Wofford next week, the Hokies get into their ACC slate. NC State, Wake, Georgia Tech, coming off that big win over
Georgia
Clemson.
Tech, hell yeah.
I mean, it's still so bizarre to me to see that Cal versus Virginia Tech is an ACC game. But I got the fix for the Hokies.
All right, let's go. I'm ready for you to take this to the public.
I will. Hire Michael Vick. Hire Michael Vick. Hire Michael Vick. I don't know if it will work. Nobody does. He's in his third or fourth game ever as a head coach at Norfolk State. Hire him.
What's their record?
I don't know. I don't care, frankly. I get that it's not the safest bet, but I'm guessing a dude like Brent Pry was the safe bet. Hire Michael Vick. Let him hire D. Hall to run the defense.
Where did Brent Pry come from?
And give them a bunch of cash for NIL and see what happens.
Well, hell, I think if those two guys are on the coaching staff, you're going to get a lot of
players.
NIL. You'll get a lot of NIL right there.
Like, our friend Greg was texting me they should hire John Gruden. I got a tough reality for you, Blacksburg. John Gruden gets his pick of who's going to get fired this year. Maybe Billy Napier at Florida.
Billy Napier's going to get fired.
Maybe I don't think they would run Lincoln Riley at USC. Like, John Gruden can pick whatever job he wants.
Yeah.
And they're going to come up with more money at these big what if Bama fires Kalen DeBoer?
Well, I'm just going to say this. Like, Virginia Tech's going to have to get on board with the NIL thing. XO Dabo about the NIL thing. He needs to get on board with it too, huh? He lost another one.
Right. Here's the thing. I'm not saying that the Mike Vick hire would be the safest because it's not.
The thing about
you would have energy and eyeballs on that program in a way you haven't in forever.
You would, but you want to make the hire because you think he can help you win. And I believe – Mike, over the years, is that guy now. He's a guy who's been through some stuff. He's a mentor. And also, I think Mike can he can get somebody to go out and play. And he will attract some players. So, in college, you got to have attraction, excitement, enthusiasm, and money. And they got that. They would have that with him.
The reality is, in this new ACC, Miami, Florida State, Clemson, maybe even like Louisville, they're all going to have more money. Jeff, don't go anywhere. They're all going to have more money for NIL. Like they just are. Do something that makes people pay attention, roll the dice, try something. You know what I'm saying? Try something. And that, to me, it is the most legendary player in Virginia Tech history is Michael Vick.
100%.
He's coaching now. Give him a chance. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. I'd love D. Hall running their defense. D. Hall has been a coach in the NFL.
In the NFL, yeah.
I'm sure haters, naysayers will tell me I'm crazy. He doesn't have the experience. The last dude had all the experience in the world.
A lot of people don't have experience. Until you get the job, right?
Pry was the defensive coordinator at Penn State for 5 years. He was at Vandy before that. Like, Pry had the experience.
Yeah, he was with, Scotty. As soon as he hit by somebody from Penn State, Scotty started hitting me.
I'm sure you loved that.
He's telling me how the guy's a number two guy. He's not a number one guy. Pry. We know that now. Well, he was getting paid almost $5 million to be a number two guy.
I have no idea if the Mike Vick thing works, but it's
College football is no longer what it was. And if it was what it was, guess what? Those big-name coaches would have stayed. A lot of them ran away from the NIL thing because they don't know how to deal with something new. I think people like a Mike and a D. Hall, those guys understand what's happening these days and probably don't have a problem with players getting paid. Hell, they probably thought they should have been getting paid when they were in college. I know I did.
Norfolk State is 1-2. The Spartans have lost to Towson, beat Virginia State, and lost to Rutgers. I don't even know. I don't know what Norfolk State's expected to do this year. This isn't about his performance at Norfolk State.
Mm-hmm.
It's about what Michael Vick might be able to bring
the
to Blacksburg.
Enthusiasm that
yeah, dude.
There.
Because there is no that, other coach they're going to get that will bring I'll, that.
When I first got here, I'll be totally honest with you, I heard more about Virginia Tech than I did Virginia, Maryland, anybody. I'm serious. You saw it everywhere you went. Over the last 10 years or so, it has not been anywhere close to what it used to be. So the luster has been lost. And it's time to try and bring that back. I'm serious. I was like, damn, what the hell? Virginia Tech? Where the hell is Virginia Tech? Because, you know, when you hear something, you see it so much, you think it'll be right next door. But you go down, way down to Blacksburg, and they were getting more hype than the schools that were right here.
Dude. So other people are saying, what about Shane Beamer? Shane Beamer's at South Carolina. Shane Beamer's in the SEC. Now, is that a tough place to win? Yes, but you know what? They got money.
They got money, and that's kind of like a step back, unless he just wanted to do it because his dad was there. But that's not an upgrade. You're leaving a conference that's considered better than yours to go down to another one.
And they didn't hire him. They could have hired him when his, you know what I mean? You could have made a tradition. You could have made a transition from Frank to Shane.
Yeah.
And they didn't do it. You think he's in a hurry to come back? And, dude, the people saying John Gruden, I got all these people. So I put it out into the earth, my Mike Vick theory. And the people that are coming back are like, nah, man, go get Gruden. He's not coming. You get Vick now because you might not be able to later.
True. Yeah.
Dog, like. I love the University of Maryland. I'm an alum, right? I have realistic expectations for my Terps. I love Coach Locks. I want what Locks for me, winning three straight bowl games, competing. I'm good with it. You got to have reasonable expectations, dude. And I fear the folks in Blacksburg do not.
Yeah. It can go wrong.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. You can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. It's Bishcakes, EB, and JP. Join us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. It is the head coach of the Maryland Terrapins.
I lost him. I don't know what happened.
Who was on the line? Mike Locksley.
He did. I didn't even
so
touch
we'll get
anything.
Him back.
Right.
Well, I'm sure he will call he back. He's there very he
Terps off to a 3-0 start, and Coach Locksley joins us. Coach Locksley is presented by IT Cadre, trusted insight from trusted insiders, IT Cadre. And, Coach, I saw you after the game addressing your players saying, we did what we had to do.
Yep.
And it's not necessarily something that's easy. Talk about how you feel after the first three games, all non-conference games, which you won.
Yeah, I think the big thing for me is this team, every week when we've had challenges or things that we had to get cleaned up with this young, inexperienced team, when we emphasize things, we usually got them fixed here the last 3 weeks. And what I'd like to see us do here in the next this week is continue that same trajectory of fixing the issues while continuing to improve and gain needed experience.
And now it gets real, Coach, because you did what you had to do. You beat the group of six teams and the FCS team, all three at home. Some teams have struggled doing that, and we can talk about that in a little bit. But now you go to Whiskey. Now, I don't know who's going to play quarterback. I was going to ask you this. Would you rather Billy play than Danny O'Neill, knowing that you know Billy and his strengths and weaknesses?
Yeah, you know him intimately.
I don't even know if you can answer that.
Nah, that's a tough one to answer. I very rarely know the personalities of who we're going to play against, but obviously to know Billy, and as I've said, I've spent a lot of time with Billy Edwards,
right. Smart
football player.
Mm-hmm.
But for us, it's defending the schemes more than the player. Obviously, the mental makeup of the quarterback, if you know him, you know what things can affect him. We don't know who we're going to face. So we're going to prepare for both.
Right. Are you on a treadmill right now?
I'm walking up some steps.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Sorry.
Do it.
All right, good.
So, Coach Locks, how do you prepare specifically Malik Washington, your young quarterback, who's played in the friendly confines of CQ Field? Now he goes into Camp Randall, 76,000 plus, hostile environment. Like, how specifically do you get him ready for, this has got to be the biggest crowd he's ever played in front of, and they're going to hate the Terps from the opening whistle?
Yeah, the big thing is obviously we do what everyone else, we pipe in crowd noise during practice. Yesterday we were fortunate because of the weather. We were able to get some wet ball work. We went outside even though it was raining, and it's supposed to get a little weather up there in Wisconsin. But the normal practice routine, pipe in the crowd noise, force communication, all the same things you typically do.
How is Malik, you know, how's he handled just sort of the emotion of the first three games, like the highs and lows, all of that?
Yeah, that's where his maturity, and I've said this on, I think, on this show, the maturity for a freshman that he's shown reminds me, it's very similar. I had freshman Jalen Hurts, and they have some very similar mental makeups, and it never seems too big for the kid.
So you're not worried at all then, big environment, let's say you get down early, that he'll be able to handle that kind of situation?
No, I mean, that's why this game is a really important game for us. It's a barometer test for our team. Gives us we will come out of this game and we'll know a lot more about our team and about our young quarterback and a bunch of the young players that we've had. I feel like we've done things the right way. We were really intentional how we've played these first three games and not really worried about anything other than how do we develop our team. And this here is the first really true test. We're on the road, a great environment to go play on, a really good team. Wisconsin's been one of the blue blood programs in the Big Ten. So it'll be a great barometer for us to see just exactly what this team is all about.
Mike, when's the last time you guys played up there?
2 years ago.
2 years. How'd it go? I don't remember the result.
Not very. They had an interim coach. It was raining horizontally. The wind was blowing 40 miles per hour.
Oh,
it was
wow.
One of those games where you had to just line up and run the football, and we did not come out successful with that one.
Gotcha. I watched a little bit, not a lot, I watched a little bit of the Bama-Wisconsin game this past week, and they started Danny O'Neill. He's the transfer from San Diego State, smaller guy. He did not play well, threw a couple picks, and I understand Bama's, I mean, they got some really good players, but Ty Simpson just lit up their secondary, and Ryan Williams is awesome. That guy's, he's going to be an NFL wide receiver, but just kind of based on what you're seeing from Wisconsin's defense, are you confident that you guys can kind of move the ball through the air?
You know, we'll be prepared to do what we need to do to move the ball. And to me, that's where we focus on the run. We've tried to develop the run game. We know we have skilled players on the perimeter that are really talented. Pep and the offensive staff will, we've put some good plans together for how to attack them. You know, their front seven is the strength of their defense. They've got a corner that's a lockdown guy on the outside, but zero is a problem for them on the outside. They've got some interior linebackers that are both really productive players for them.
Coach, kind of a nice luxury for the Terps to have a three-headed monster in the backfield. You have three backs who have between 25 and 32 carries, and they have between 91 and 121 yards. So you got three different guys you can go to in Williams, Ray, and Howard. Like, if one guy's struggling a little bit, you just plug the next guy in.
Yeah, we've kind of done the running back by committee around here the last few years and have had great success, whether it was Anthony McFarland, Javon Leak, Jake Funk. We've had that for a lot of years here. And so to have the luxury of where you have, you know, guys like Nolan and DeJuan Williams who are subtly different. DeJuan's a little heavier, heavier-handed runner, and Nolan with the breakaway speed. And then you throw in the freshman, Ivy Howard, who, you know, he comes in and he just finds positive yardage every time he touches the ball. And we've really liked the way he's come on here the last couple of weeks.
Coach, you talked about it in the offseason, right before the season started, about how, you know, it's difficult for coaches and programs to win when their schools don't provide financials. And you saw what happened. I mean, I don't know how well you know Coach Pry and how well you know Coach Foster. I mean, Foster got about 15 games, and they said, no, you're done. UCLA, I didn't realize this, UCLA had to borrow, the athletic department had to borrow money from the school. They were in debt. The athletic department was in debt, had to borrow money from the school. I've never even heard of that, because they just don't have the resources that some other schools have. Virginia Tech needs $50 million to kind of keep up with the rest of the conference. How much do fans and the media, do they really know of what's going on financially with these schools?
Yeah, that's the part that, that has been frustrating, because, you know, as a coach, you get judged by who you bring in and their ability to win. And, you know, but it takes a community. It takes a collaborative effort to develop. And that's what I learned coaching at Alabama, where I went to three straight national championships. Mm-hmm. I've coached at the University of Florida, another flagship university. And I've spent time at Illinois. So I've seen kind of the best of both worlds of it. But, you know, the thing I've asked here at Maryland is this: if you put me in the middle, resource wise, we don't have to be in the top. It's just hard to be at the bottom and then have the expectation to win championships. I mean, I don't think any business model has ever built, let's invest as least amount as possible, but we want to make as much as we can.
Yeah.
What's the percentage of players now that you recruit that start their conversation with you asking about money?
You know, I'd usually dictate kind of the way the conversation goes by the time they get to me. I'd be remiss if I didn't tell you that it is a part of it now. And it's starting really early with guys in terms of, you know, high school juniors that are asking questions. And the bad part is, because of the way this thing has been unrolled, this new NIL world, it changes every day. So the answers that you give them can be today, and then all of a sudden it's different a week from now. So that's been the challenge for coaches, is figuring out how to, you know, manage ever-changing environment of the way we do business while managing your roster and managing expectations.
Well, when you get a stud like Iverson Howard, who was at Quince Orchard, my son graduated from Quince Orchard last year, so I saw Iverson Howard. Your pitch is, hey, you can stay home, we're a great program, and then money comes later?
Yeah, you know, the kids like that that are from some of these programs that have put people in the league, put people in college, they understand the importance of what this degree means. I mean, that, to me, everything that I do is built around getting a degree for a kid that comes in by using the game of football. And there's no doubt that guys like Ivy come in, they're taught and learned very early how to approach the process. And, you know, Coach Kelly does a tremendous job over there. We've had a lot of success with QO guys.
Yeah. How much happier are you this year than last year with kind of the resources that were provided?
I'm more happy with just the team that I've built, because these guys are as advertised. They're just young. And every week, you know, for me, everything we've achieved, we've emphasized with this team. And that's what makes me really excited about the way this team can grow. I feel like this is a really strong foundational year for us. And, you know, as we now get the money that is that we all get, you know, a year ago, you know, I've talked about it. You know, we had to raise the money this year.
Right. Because
we get revenue share that the players have earned from the TV contract that we have. And so it gives us a chance. And, you know, if you give us a, like I said, put us in the middle, we'll be able to put a product on the field that can compete for championships.
Man, I would love to talk to Coach Locks off the record in his office about this. I'll tell you this, and I'm not going to say numbers.
I got all the answers too, I promise you.
Coach, I'm not going to talk numbers here. I was told in conference what Virginia Tech spent on their roster last year, and I don't know what they're spending on the roster this year. I couldn't believe it.
How little it was?
Yeah, I said, are you kidding me? How are you supposed to win games? So, I don't know. I just, it blows my mind, the numbers that are being spent. It really does. Yeah.
Well, the great thing is the landscape, if it's done correctly, it's like the NFL. It creates parity.
Right.
And parity is what makes it go. And we've, you know, the Big Ten has won a couple national championships the last few years. You see Indiana pop up. You see Illinois pop up. They made the investment. They made the decision. Hey, let's go all in. And you see the benefits of it.
Mm-hmm.
Talking to Coach Mike Locksley, head coach at the University of Maryland, presented by IT Cadre, trusted insight from trusted insiders, IT Cadre. You're off to a great start, 3-0. We talked a little bit about the offense and what Malik is bringing, but talk about the defense. You've allowed just 33 total points through three games. That's the program's fewest through three games since 2001. How are you feeling about this team defensively at the start of the season?
It's like any other part of our program. It's a work in progress. When you got two true freshmen, you got Sidney Stewart and Zaire Mathis starting for you. You've got CJ Smith, the freshman linebacker, playing. We just got Bryce Jenkins back healthy, a true freshman. So they're all works in progress as you mix and match them with guys like Daniel Wingate and, you know, the two corners we were fortunate to bring in here have both played really, really well. And then you see the development of the young corners, Braden Lee and 27, who Lakai Rowland, who both, you know, a year ago really, you know, got taken to the woodshed, and because of it, they're better. And you see them both playing at a high level. So Ted Monachino, the defensive staff, Coach Azar, they've all done a really good job of kind of simplifying what we do and letting our good players, young players that have shown up here, make plays, and they've done that. So we're going to need to have a great output from those guys this week.
All right, Coach, best of luck. The game's at noon. I believe it's on Peacock.
Yep, that's correct. Good luck in Wisconsin.
All right, guys. Appreciate you. See you next week.
All right. Thank you, buddy.
Coach Mike Loxley, brought to you by IT Cadre. Trusted insight from Trusted Insiders, IT Cadre.
I couldn't see a scenario where I could ask the question.
No.
I played out every scenario in my brain. There's
you
got to no
keep the gun in the holster.
There's no way I could make that work.
Well, there wasn't even a big financial gain for you.
Yeah, well, even if there was.
It'd make us chuckle.
Yeah.
You probably would have done it for 20.
No, I just don't think. I think it'd piss off an entire university.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what
don't
I mean?
Don't need that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind going to a game or two. So I decided for the better. You know, be smart.
I think it was good to keep it in the holster.
I've matured. I'm almost 56. At some point, you do mature.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know that you would have asked it 20 years ago.
It's a tough one. That's a tough one. I would have asked somebody like some of these rock stars.
Yeah, you wouldn't have asked Randy Edsall.
No.
I might at a bar on the radio. No. No.
Oh, my gosh. I'm having a brain fart. Who's the donk that they just had before Lox?
Before Loxley? Hold
DJ
on.
Durkin.
Yeah, picturing him DJ with the gray hair.
Yeah.
He was there for 20
Lox
minutes.
Lox the one that replaced Durkin?
Lox has been around for 8-9 years.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yes, Ricky.
Durkin ran those guys forever, and a poor kid stroked out or whatever, right?
That's what
I don't think he's been around 9 years. He's been around since... When did he get hired? 19?
He's maybe been about 7 years.
Yeah, 19.
Six or seven.
Maybe 7.
I mean, he's been around a while.
Do you think they can compete, Valdez? Can they keep this game competitive?
I'm very eager to watch this game.
It's telling.
I think they have a chance. I think they have a chance for an upset. I think the 4.5 wins, the win total that
you think
whoever put
over?
Out, I think that was a little disrespectful.
Well, they got three. They make three. Just got to win two.
He's in season 7.
Season 7. Yeah.
Wisconsin wasn't that good last week.
Yeah, I watched some of that.
Yeah.
They're not having one of their better years. You're catching Wisconsin on a down year.
Right.
Good. I'm considering taking Wisconsin Survivor, but I'm not crazy about it.
Some people are.
And I don't want to root against the Terps.
Some people are taking
it. So there's that added element.
So why would you do that?
I got to find somebody else.
He just needs to advance. He's already lost his big
club. It's called money. He cares about money over everything.
That's probably true.
All right. Coming up next, EB's entertainment page here on The Fan.
All right, back here on the Team 980.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, The Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan. But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
The pleasure to be joined now by Sam Acho. Of course, you see him on ESPN, and you know him from his days at Texas and in the NFL, and doing great work in the community as well. And he is a past All-State Werfel Award Trophy winner, and here on behalf of All-State with us to talk about guys that don't get maybe enough shine, off the football field for what they're doing. Sam, thanks for doing this, and thanks for all your community work and everything that you brought to the game, both on and off the field.
No, thank you so much. I'm excited to be here. I was smiling when you started to say the reason why I was here. Back in 2010, I was a winner and a recipient of the All-State Warfel Trophy, and I was a part of the All-State AFCA Good Works team. But now 15 years removed from being a college athlete, and now obviously 5 years removed from being an NFL player, I still get a chance to shine a light on some of the work that the players are doing. And so this year's 2025 All-State AFCA Good Works team has a list of unbelievable and incredible athletes that not only do I get a chance to talk about and analyze as far as their play, but also them as humans get a chance to just shine a light on that.
Absolutely. And it's led by Oklahoma head coach Brett Venables and a number of different players. And we will obviously shine light as much as we can on them. I know I got to know Dylan Gibbons a couple of years ago from Florida State and Notre Dame and for all the great work that he had done. And you know, in radio and in media, as you know, right, while we're not football players, it's important for us to use our platform. Why is it important for athletes to use the platform, besides the obvious, and how important is it to get involved with actual man hours and boots on the ground as opposed to just lending your name and lending money?
Yeah, I love that. So I think all of those things can be beneficial. Lending your name, your image, your likeness. We're seeing a lot of athletes using their NIL to benefit others, but it's also their time, their treasure, and their talents. Some players are part of this 2025 All-State AFCA Good Works team, like Michael Taft, who went to Texas, who goes to Texas, and he's an All-American safety, a former walk-on, but he lost a friend to fentanyl. And all of a sudden, he, instead of just using his name, he's using his talents. Every tackle that Michael Taft makes at Texas, he's donating money, and people can join him to donate money to go to for fentanyl awareness, right? So it's like, hey, I'm not going to use my name. I'm going to use my talents. Chandler Rivers, who's a defensive back at Duke. He's from the Texas area. So yes, he goes to Duke. He's in Carolina doing his thing. But also every offseason in the summer, he goes back to where he's from in Texas and does summer camps. There are players who are doing stuff, fighting substance abuse, more other different types of substance abuse. And so for me, the benefit of players using their name, image, likeness, their time, their treasure, their talents, it just provides a light and a peace and a beacon of hope in a time where people don't have a lot of hope.
Yeah, I think that's so incredibly well said, because I mean, we judge kids and coaches and programs by wins and losses, right? And yes, that is important. That is ultimately what sports are all about. But you can win a lot of ways. You can win in a lot of different ways, and winning off the field is again just as important as winning on the field sometimes.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, so I go back to my time in college. I'm smiling because I got a chance at Texas to go to a national championship, to participate and play in a national championship. I got a chance. I had two sacks in the game, right? I played well. Our team didn't win, but it was like a great opportunity. But what the highlights of my college career weren't really on the field. It was the off the field work and maybe even recognition that I was able to get. I was a recipient of the All-State Warfel Trophy back in 2010. I was a part of the All-State AFCA Good Works team, and that is still a highlight of my career. We are one human. So people try to delineate and say, well, you're a football player, man, you're in the media. It's like, no, I'm a human. And so the fact that I'm doing this work in the community, that's an overflow of who I am. It doesn't have to be like, well, I only do community work, or I only play football, or only in the classroom. No, I'm one human. And so I love the fact that we get a chance to highlight these players and Brett Venables, as you said, there's an honorary coach as well, because I'll say this. I got a chance to cover the Oklahoma Temple game last weekend.
In Philadelphia.
And Philadelphia, correct. At the Link, right? Yep. And I didn't realize at the time, but in some of the research and prep, I didn't realize Brett Venables, his wife is fighting cancer. And there was, you know, I don't know exactly where it is right now, but there was a time where it wasn't looking so great, and not too long ago. And so to find out that he is the honorary captain for this All-State AFCA Good Works team in 2025, it reminds me that he is human. I went to Texas. Texas, Oklahoma, historically, and even now, are still rivals.
Yeah,
I get a chance to root him on because now we're part of the same team. So when I talk about the All-State AFCA Good Works team, even the collaboration, first it was just the All-State AFCA Good Works team, a team of 22 players who are doing great work and highlighting their off-the-field work. Then there was there was the Warfel Trophy. That was like the most prestigious award for community service. Well, 2 years ago or so, we decided to combine those awards because they're both trying to highlight the same thing. But once again, we're one human. So instead of trying to be diverted and distracted, what if we could just focus all that energy on the players and their work? So now Allstate decided to join teams with they're on a team with AFCA, but also with the Warfel Trophy to form the Allstate Warfel Trophy. So players can go, or anyone who's listening can go to ESPN.com/Allstate. They can be a part of the action. They can learn about the players, but they can also vote on who they think should be the captain and whoever's that captain is going to win the Allstate Warfel Trophy. So I get really excited about it because I know the impact it had on my life back when I was a collegiate athlete.
Absolutely. Sam Acho with us. Before we run out of time, I have a couple of quick hitters for you, if you don't mind. There's been a big controversy in broadcasting, and I figured you would be perfect to ask this. Tom Brady, you know, his role with the Las Vegas Raiders in the broadcast booth. You broadcast games, as you mentioned, you were in Philadelphia, Oklahoma, Temple, as part of your ESPN duties. How much information are you asking for getting? Is there trade secrets? Is it confidential, or is it just background stuff? And is it really that big of a deal?
Well, it depends. Everyone's different. Some people go to meetings like that and they feel like, well, I have all the context that I need because I've done my research. I've watched film. Some coaches aren't going to divulge anything, so they don't see it as a big use of their time. Other people get a ton of information. Sometimes coaches and staff coordinators can be more vulnerable and more honest and share more in a meeting like that because they know that it's not the media trying to share different things. It's just them inside that intimate circle. So there could be a conflict of interest with a guy like Tom Brady who's in the owner's box or who's listening to the plays and talking to Chip Kelly while also going to interview other teams and their coaches and coaching staff. But I would say if I'm a coordinator for a different team or a coach for a different team, and I know that Tom Brady is going to potentially share that information with the Raiders, then I may not divulge any or as much information to him during that meeting.
I could completely agree. And it is a conflict of interest, but you got to be careful and smart in every way. Just before we run out of time, if you don't mind, Virginia Tech off to a terrible start. They're our local, you know, we're a flagship station. They fired Brent Pry, which not exactly surprising. You know, there's a lot of big names there. If you're Virginia Tech, would you go with an established coach or would you look at a big name like a Michael Vick who just started head coaching or D'Angelo Hall who's been an NFL assistant coach? How would you kind of approach that search?
I would approach the search with the reminder of who Virginia Tech is. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I was growing up, Virginia Tech was, I'm not going to say the program, but one of the premier programs in college football. So I would remind myself that that's who we are, and then I would approach the search in that way. And I'm not saying that means you have to get someone who's been established, right? Maybe Michael Vick is the answer. I think about a guy like Coach Prime. Coach Prime had been coaching for decades. Mm-hmm. He didn't publicize it, but that's why you saw the success that he had at Colorado even last year and that he's had in bringing some top-level recruits. I would be – yeah, so anyways, that's I would just remember – how impressive of a program that Virginia Tech is. And I wouldn't think so much of how the struggles have happened recently. I'll go back to, man, we have so much talent in this, you know, in this kind of area, right? The DMV, and try to keep that talent local.
Maybe you could bring Shane Beamer back home. Maybe. We will see. Sam, I know you got to run. I appreciate your great work on behalf of Allstate and the Werfel Trophy and everything that you and this team has put together. People can check out more at ESPN, right? ESPN.com, I should say, /Allstate.
Correct. Correct. That's right. Yeah. Go to ESPN.com/Allstate because not only to learn more, but I love getting involved, right? So if you want to get involved, you can actually go and you can vote on who you think should be the captain and who could win that Allstate Werfel Trophy like I won back in 2010, like Tim Tebow won the year before.
Attaboy. Thank you, Sam. Appreciate you doing this. We'll be watching you on ESPN and obviously sending everybody to ESPN.com/Allstate. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right, Sam Acho on behalf of Allstate. Appreciate them making him available. And I didn't get to ask him which game he'll be on this weekend, but I'm sure he'll be on one of the games on the family of ESPN and ABC. He was in Philly at Lincoln Financial Field for Oklahoma Temple last week. Didn't get to ask him about Maryland and Wisconsin. That's a game Maryland's got to win. Wisconsin was terrible last week. It's a game Maryland's got to win, even in Madison this week. Did answer about Virginia Tech. Identifying your roots. They tried to do that with Brent Pry. If they can get Shane Beamer, you get Shane Beamer. They should consider D'Angelo Hall. First-time head coach. But D'Angelo Hall's been a pro coach now for 4 years, 3 years. And he is got Virginia Tech in his blood. He has Virginia Tech in his blood. I think that would be a smart idea to consider.
Pick up your book bags. Grab your notebooks. It's time to go on campus with Denton.
Hey, give me my theme music.
Denton Day is going to join us every Thursday on this show to talk some college football. Denton is the host of College Football Overtime on Sirius XM on Saturdays. He is the host of the Washington Commanders pre- and post-game shows on not only this station, the Team 980, but also 106.7 The Fan. And he is doing well at the BetMGM Network as a part of a show that he's involved in, not only on air, but as a producer as well. You know, I wanted to start before we get to last week and then some of the games this week, including the Maryland game. What's going on at UCLA and Virginia Tech, where both coaches were fired after last weekend? And I know it triggers some sort of window for players to immediately enter the portal. What are the rules? You might not know the answer to this, and if you don't, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I guess I've already done that. But could basically Virginia Tech's entire team bolt after the head coach was fired?
I'm not super well-versed in all of the rules, but they've never, like, no one has ever really explained them, which I think is the frustrating element of this whole process. But theoretically, yeah, when a coach is fired, you have a window, I think it's 30 days, where you can jump in the portal and just kind of go. And it's not, we've seen something like this happen before. It's usually not, at least in the middle of the season, due to fired coaches. It's due to money stuff. Remember that kid from UNLV last year got off to a 3-0 start, had that handshake NIL deal and said, I'm out of here. And so we've seen it more for that rather than the firing of coaches. Usually what happens is they just kind of go and splurge at the end of the season, and it's a mass exodus.
I guess, you know, and I'm reading right now, you mentioned it, you nailed it. You know, head coaching changes trigger a 30-day window for players who wish to enter the portal and explore a transfer. I mean, you could literally bring a season to a halt with that rule because players are bolting. I mean, you're going to get a lot of players that will say, go ahead and bolt. This will give me my opportunity to get onto the field. But it just seems so ridiculous. And we've got the multiple portal windows already in the sport. Let's talk about the sport and the games. Because you know what's interesting, Denton? I think you and I have talked about this either on the air or off the air. With all of, you know, the changes to college football and college basketball, you know, we've got a salary cap now, you know, we've had the transfer portal, we've had NIL, we've had conference reshuffling, etc. What's really interesting about that is so many people bitch and complain about how it's ruining the sport. But you know what? For me, and I can only speak for myself, when 12 noon on Saturday comes and the games begin, it is still an incredible product. And I don't feel any less passionate about the games and the sport during the season. I get upset during the off season, but once the games start, it is still you know, you get used to where the players have landed. You get used to, you know, where the teams are. And the matchups are massive. I mean, Georgia-Tennessee last week, I mean, that could potentially end up being the game of the year, except we both know there will be another dozen just like it between now and late November. Do you feel the same way or not?
Yes, first of all, there might be one literally at noon this weekend with Texas Tech and Utah.
Yeah.
Look, if you are watching Georgia and Tennessee and you're thinking to yourself, you're sitting at home, you're sitting in a bar, wherever you're watching this thing, and you're like, this is not as fun because the guy that just jumped over a defensive back is getting paid too much money, you're a loser, right? Like, in February, we care about it. In April, we care about it. When the games are being played, you should not
care.
Be caring about it.
I don't
unless,
care.
Like, the one caveat is if you're losing money and then you just rage and you talk about how these players are getting paid and they can't make you money. Like, that's like the one thing. But outside of that, no. Like, I'm not watching great football games and thinking, huh, these guys are getting paid too much. I can't enjoy this. That's just not how my brain operates.
Yeah, and that game was so good in such a great environment. I was watching that game, and I texted one of my boys who was watching the game, and I just said, this is the deep end of the college football pool. Like, I'm watching that game, and honestly, it doesn't look like any of the other games that I had watched that day. The speed, the size, the skill, the athleticism, it was off the charts. And I felt badly for the Tennessee kicker. I mean, he did make the one in overtime, but it seems like, you know, they had that big win over Alabama, but it seems like more times than not, it doesn't end well for Tennessee.
No, I mean, they haven't beaten Georgia since 2016.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy because over the past couple of years, Tennessee's been good. And they, as you mentioned, they've beaten Bama in that time frame. They've been good. They just cannot get over. I don't know if it's, I honestly don't even think it's the players. There's something with Heifel mentally. He can't get over Kirby Smart. He's like the arch rival. I thought the way that he coached Heifel in the fourth quarter was atrocious. Just poor clock management, maybe not understanding math. You know, maybe he thought 5 + 3 = 9, which is why he decided to play super conservative with like 8 minutes left. I did not like the way that he coached against Kirby Smart. You kind of like, you want to talk about the deep end of the pool talent wise, definitely. You also saw that with the coaching discrepancy. Like, there's no one that is Saban, obviously, but Kirby Smart right now is the best coach in college football. I thought he was, you know, really, really good in that the late stages of that game. And that, you know, in this instance, that separated, I thought, the win versus the loss. And as we get deeper into the season, your coach has got to be ready to handle some big-time moments. I thought Smart did a great job.
Speaking of coaches, you know I don't trust Mario Cristobal. But with that said, I think Miami's totally legit. That offensive
really
line is sick. They can run the football. Carson Beck, I said it 2 weeks ago, I think he's going to win the Heisman. He's now the favorite to win the Heisman. Do you agree with me that the Canes are legit? Even though, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to give out Florida tomorrow plus the short number in that game. But tell me what you think about the Canes.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you. I think Beck's been really, like, you're seeing the best of Carson Beck in the first couple of games for Miami, and they're not playing bad opponents. Like, it'd be different if they were doing this against Kent State 4 times. But they're not. They're playing good opponents. He's doing it against Notre Dame. Even USF, while USF is not going to be as good as some of the teams that Miami plays, especially with Florida State on their schedule coming up after this Florida game, USF is a pretty decent team, and they still just completely blew the doors off of them. The nice thing for Miami and Florida this weekend, if you're a Canes fan, is that Mario Cristobal doesn't screw games up, Kevin, until November. So you get a couple of months. There's going to be a game in late October, November, where we're going to do this on a Thursday, and it's going to be all we talk about. You're like, how did he do this again? What was he thinking? One of those games is going to come. The question, though, is going to be, do they have enough talent to overcome that? And I think for the first time in a couple of years, the answer to that's yes.
I had Murray on my podcast yesterday, Tim, and he said, look, they're scheduled the next 3 weeks, Florida State. But Florida, by the way, for those of you they are not following, yes, they lost to USF. They lost to LSU in Death Valley, a game that was much closer than the final score indicated. Mm-hmm. Then they go to Tallahassee, and then they get, you know, Miller Moss, Jeff Brohm, and Louisville. I like that team, by the way. Tim's like, they're going to lose one of these next three. I'm not sure about that, but if they don't, they're going undefeated in the regular season, and that's almost a lock for a playoff.
Definitely. I think whoever goes unbeaten in the ACC, and I do think there is the potential to, for one of those teams, it'll either be Miami or Florida State, maybe Georgia Tech, though. I mean, Georgia Tech's schedule the rest of the way is pretty easy. There's going to be at least one unbeaten team in the ACC, and that team is for sure getting in. And then depending who they play in the ACC championship game, there's going to be an avenue for two ACC teams, I think, to get in to the playoff once again, with likely neither of them being Clemson unless something drastically changes there.
All right, fraudulent or for real? All right, let me give you the teams. The first one I'm going to give you is Oregon.
For real. I actually think Oregon is, if you're putting Miami right now as the best team in college football, which you didn't say that specifically, but I think they could end up there.
I think they could end up as the number one seed in the playoff because of the schedule if they can get through this next 3 weeks, which I think they're the better team than the three that they're facing.
Anybody that would tell me right now that Miami is the best team in college football, I would not push back. We haven't seen enough from Ohio State and Penn State. And then LSU, I still have some questions offensively. So if you want to tell me Miami is the best team, sure. I would put Oregon pretty close behind there. I think Dante Moore's done a really good job, and I really like Dan Lanning. I want to see it against better competition, but at the same time, they whooped Oklahoma State's ass a couple of weeks ago. And Oklahoma State is the high-level Power Four team, but it's not like they were doing that to, you know, Idaho State. That's a team that has real money, that is spending real money, and they just completely destroyed them. I think it's going to be something similar this weekend against Oregon State, so I like Oregon. They're for real.
Well, we're going to find out next weekend when they when they go to Happy Valley to play that defense, which, by the way, they'll be coming off, you know, a bye week. I'm not a Drew Aller guy, and we'll talk about this game obviously next week because it'll be one of the biggest games of the season next week, Oregon at Penn State. But I'm feeling like that's going to be a wake-up call for Oregon on the road against that defense. But we'll talk about that one next week. Fraudulent or for real, Florida State?
Right now, I'm going to call them for real. And part of that is because I do think Bama is pretty good, and Florida State was just better. I question their ability to be able to hold this consistency throughout the entirety of the season, but I will right now reluctantly say Florida State is for real.
Illinois.
Fraudulent. I think Indiana, I mean, that line, I was stunned by this line, Kevin. I'm sure you've looked at it.
Yeah.
Indiana laying 6.5 was very, very surprising. I like Luke Altmyer. I just don't know if I love Illinois in terms of, you know, compared to some of the other teams that you've listed. So I am going to say, seeing as they're a top 10 team, I'm going to say fraudulent for Illinois.
A&M.
I think A&M's for real. I think A&M's for real. I like Marshall.
You don't like the quarterback, though, do you?
No, I actually do. I do like the
quarterback. You like Marcell Reed?
Yeah, I think he's pretty dynamic. I don't know that he is he's certainly not the best quarterback. I would not put him in any of those discussions. But I do think there is something about him where he has a little bit of gamer in him. So I think if he can not make silly mistakes, I think Texas A&M, this is the best chance that they've had in a long, long time of not only just getting to the college football playoff, but being able to win double-digit games this year.
Fraudulent or for real, this is a very intriguing matchup Saturday afternoon. Oklahoma.
Oklahoma is for real, but that schedule is going to kick the snot out of them. They are in the worst spot this year, Kevin, because I really do think they're good. I think their quarterback is really good. But after they play Auburn this weekend, which will be a nice test, they get layup game against Kent State, which Kent State's going to get 70 hung on them. And then it's Texas, South Carolina, Ole Miss, Tennessee, yeah. Bama, Missouri, LSU. Sheesh. I mean, what a gauntlet that is. So I think they're for real, but I don't know that they'll be able to survive that. I do think this is the first year that a three-loss team could potentially get into the playoff, but that's going to be, if Oklahoma only has three losses by the end of that schedule, I think they'll deserve a spot in the playoffs.
Tell everybody, those that have not watched Oklahoma yet, about their quarterback, John Mateer, who right now is the second odds favorite behind Carson Beck to win the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, he is another guy that is a gamer. One, he wears a headband, and anyone that's ever wore a headband is automatically cool as a guy that used to wear a headband a lot. But I think he really processes well. You know, that was my biggest takeaway against Michigan. How many times just over the course of college football and NFL football, have we seen a quarterback go up against a Wink Martindale defense and get exposed? Wink, right. Wink. We've seen it a bunch, right? He did not. I thought he handled it really, really well against Michigan. So against Auburn, it'll be a test. I think this one will be much more of a track meet than that game was against Michigan, because once Oklahoma scored a certain amount of points, they kind of knew the game was over because Michigan couldn't score. Auburn's a little bit different, but I think Mateer is going to end up being the story of what would otherwise be a Jackson Arnold revenge game. He plays quarterback now for Auburn. He was right with Oklahoma last year. That was a terrible situation. Oklahoma didn't do right by him. He wasn't exactly spectacular. They move on. This should be a revenge game, but Mateer is really, really good. He can use his legs. He can make a bunch of throws. Not all the throws, but a bunch of throws. I think he's really, really good.
Georgia Tech, fraudulent or for real? The 3-0 Yellow Jackets knocked off Clemson last week.
They are for real because of their physicality at the line of scrimmage. And I think no matter who they end up playing, either in the ACC or as they go further into the season, you can't fake physicality at the line of scrimmage. That's one thing where Brent Key over the course of his career has excelled. I do feel bad for Georgia Tech, though. Depending on what happens with some other jobs across the country, he is going to be sought after like crazy. You know, if Florida ends up moving on from Napier, Key is going to be right in that discussion. He's done a great job with the program. I do think they are for real. I got a 7-1 ticket on them making the playoff that I feel really good about. I really like that team.
So Alabama gets beat and handily in the opener in Tallahassee. They've bounced back. I mean, they haven't beaten anybody unless you think Wisconsin is decent. They crushed Wisconsin in Tuscaloosa last week. I'm becoming a fan of Ty Simpson, not just as a college quarterback, but as a next level quarterback. What do you think?
So I haven't judged him from the lens of what would he look like on Sundays, but I do think Alabama has done a really good job since that Florida State loss of using the next two games to get right. Like, that's what UL Monroe is for. That's what Wisconsin is for. Get our quarterback.
That's what Wisconsin is for. I mean, that's painful for a Wisconsin fan to hear, but it's true.
I mean, could you imagine saying that, you know, 5 years ago that Wisconsin would get right game for Alabama? It's crazy. But that's kind of what they are right now. You know, he didn't look good against Florida State. He wasn't seeing things. He looked very discombobulated because of the speed of Florida State. They did a really good job getting him into a rhythm. And I think Kalen DeBoer deserves a lot of credit for that. But Ty Simpson also deserves credit for that. We've seen this on several different occasions. I mean, we're seeing it right now in Texas. You get a bad game and it just completely messes with the psyche of a quarterback. I think they've done a really good job making him comfortable. And I do think that Alabama is a really good team. Yeah, that Florida State loss, will look back on it and say maybe that was just Florida State being really good. But Bama's a good team.
Yeah, they get Georgia, I think, next week. Arch Manning, what's his issue?
He has the yips. He is not, I don't know if he's not seeing things. I mean, he's under the most amount of pressure that we have seen a quarterback under in a long, long time. You know, I know Feinbaum compared it to Tim Tebow. I never was on board with that, but he is under the kind of pressure that a guy like Tebow was under because everybody anointed him as the savior of a program that has not won a championship in almost 20 years, which is crazy to say that Texas hasn't won in almost 20 years. He's not seeing it. I mean, to have the performance you did against Ohio State week number one, fine, right? First game of the season, going up against a really good defense led by an NFL coordinator that's now coaching in college. Naturally, Patricia will be able to get after a guy that hasn't played a lot of football. But to not perform against UTEP,
I know,
it's kind of embarrassing, especially given the expectations.
It was bad.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if he needs to contact J.J. McCarthy and get his meditation specialist or what, but there's something going on upstairs that they need to connect, and they need to connect that soon, because if not, they're going to lose some games that would otherwise be winnable.
All right, let's finish up with Maryland. Malik Washington, stud, four-star, sought-after quarterback from, you know, Howard County, gets the start as a true freshman. The Terps haven't played anybody yet. And, you know, you could say that they're getting an opportunity here with kind of a light Big Ten schedule. They open on the road for the first time, their Big Ten schedule, not opening on the road for the first time in their Big Ten lifetime. I'm just saying this year in Madison against Wisconsin, they are 10-point underdogs. That seems like an awful lot. But what are people in the sport saying about Malik Washington?
I think people are excited about Malik Washington, but they want to see it against bigger competition. As you know, people had been excited about Talia, and then he sees big competition, and he's not all of that exciting anymore. Same thing with Billy Edwards.
I mean, this guy's legit, though, talent-wise. Big dude, yeah, you know.
He's much better. I think talent-wise, he's the best quarterback that Maryland's had in a long, long time. Yeah. If he can perform against Wisconsin and Maryland can beat Wisconsin, which I don't think is out of the realm of possibility. I was stunned that line was 10.5. I think that will completely change the narrative surrounding not just this year's Maryland football team, but the potentially Maryland football teams to come. I think it makes Locke's job a lot easier in terms of recruiting if you can point to a guy and say, hey, we have a quarterback. Come play with him.
You know, that's a really good point, and it makes this game crucial, actually. If Maryland somehow could go into Madison and win Sunday to get to 4-0, beating Wisconsin's not a big deal, but as a 10-point underdog and Malik Washington looks the part again, they've got some interesting games. I mean, they should be able to beat, you know, Washington at home, should be able to beat UCLA on the road. You know, Nebraska's going to be tough. They're coming here. They got Indiana. But they would be headed towards a bowl season with this kid, and then the pressure would be off Locks, and he'd come back next year. You know, there's a lot going on. Because if this season goes sideways, Locks, who knows what will happen with a new AD, then the quarterback leaves and you're starting all over. Speaking of coaches, last question. Is Dabo in trouble or not?
No, because I don't think there's anybody better. You know, as annoying as Dabo is, and he is annoying, and some of the things that he said this week are very annoying, there's not a lot of better options right now for Clemson that does not involve a complete and total overhaul. You know, Venables would have been the guy had he still been there, but when he left, I mean, they're not going to get excited about either the offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator coming up and taking his job. And I would imagine they want to keep that in-house. So I don't think he's going anywhere. But, man, this season has been tough for Clemson.
At the Denton Day on X on Twitter, he'll be in Sunday for the pregame show. I'll be on it with him. He'll do the postgame show as well following the game. Thanks. I'll talk to you later.
All right, see ya.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.